We welcome you here in the house of the Lord this morning, and we hope that this day will also be a blessing for you and for all the people in the world. We welcome this morning from Pastor Alf Arnold Groenewald. He's from Open Doors, who serves the or give service to the persecuted church in the world, and he's here today to lead our church service, but also inform us more about their work in the world and what their goals is, and how good or bad their reaction is in the world for them. Very welcome, Pastor, and God bless.
Very much. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. That's an honor to be together. David said in the Psalms, and I greet you with his words this morning. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And we are here this morning in the house of the Lord together. Effectively, we are the house of the Lord, but we are gathered in this building to worship God together. And I want to encourage you to just worship God in this morning. We're just going to open in prayer. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to be in your presence this morning. Thank you that you taught us in your word that where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. Thank you that we can be in your presence in this morning, and not only in your presence, but we can have the fellowship of our brothers and our sisters, and we can come together and openly worship your name. We thank you for the privilege. It is always a privilege, although we don't always perceive it as a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to worship God together in an open public space. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together. It's a wonderful privilege for me to be with you this morning here in Windhoek. You may be seated now. Yes, thank you. I just want to quickly find out, has everyone received a little pamphlet like this? If you have not, can you just raise your hand if you did not receive one? I will arrange quickly for somebody. Everybody received one. Okay, because it'll be important later on as I proceed. Oh, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to read from basically the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we all know the scripture very well. And just then from verse 9, to save time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Verse 9 to verse 15, the specific part of the word where Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray. You know what, when in the times, especially in the Old Testament times, when people for long periods of time did not have the Word of God, because they were then they were in captivity and they were cast out of their country, and then they came back to their land and the Bible, the Word of God was nowhere to be found, and then they found it again, and every time they had such respect for the Word of God. So when they read the Bibles, the Word of God in the old days, they stood. While out of respect for the Word of God, they stood. So I'm going to ask us to stand once more. Okay, so we're really going to get some exercise this morning. If you can stand again while we read the Word of God, just out of respect for the Word of God, if that is okay. And then we can sit after our prayer. This then is how you should pray, says Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I just want to repeat those last two scriptures because that's what I want to talk about this morning. Jesus said the following. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let us just pray as we stand. Father, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for all the words that you've spoken. And every word that you've spoken are the words that we want to live our lives by. And you taught us that man will not live from bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God and the mouth of Jesus as the Son of God. And thank you for your word and for the bread of life that we can take in this morning. Help us, Lord, to comply to your word and to apply this word to our lives this morning. We thank you for that. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I put a timer on the phone just to make sure I don't go too far over the time. To help me to stay within time. So I'm going to start the timer now. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to take you with me. Every church, you can just hand it out for me. It'll be wonderful. You can do that for me. Don't always have that help. I'm going to start with some statistics because I work for Open Doors, and that's what we do. At Open Doors, we serve one purpose in the body of Christ. We serve the persecuted church, those that are being persecuted for the fact that they are followers of Christ. That's what we do. And the statistics say that there are currently 380 million followers of Christ spread over the world, over 78 countries that are living in high levels of persecution. 380 million, more than 380 million. It's an incredible amount to get your head around. Before you go to bed tonight, they will have sent 16 people to jail every single day. It'll happen again tomorrow. Before you go to bed tonight, they will have killed 13 people. Just because they follow Jesus Christ. Not for any other reason, they will have killed many more people in the world. But they will have killed 13 people because they were followers of Christ. Before you go to bed tonight, they will have burned down 10 churches or attacked 10 churches or bombed 10 churches. Every single day on a Sunday, because most of God's people come together on a Sunday, obviously the numbers are more. Very often while people worship in a service like this, where we get to come together to worship God, somebody would walk into a church as a visitor, and he would have a bomb around his waist, and in the middle of the worship service, he would push a button. But on average, 10 a day. On average, every single day, they will chase 110 people again today out of their houses. They will lose their houses. They would chase them out of their country just because they're followers of Christ. Those are the statistics of what happens every single day of the year. Every single day they rape 23 women because they refuse to deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yet, Jesus said, forgive those that trespass against you. And Jesus said, if you do not want to forgive, then I will not forgive you. And I always ask myself when I think about this question, how do you forgive people when they have killed when they take your children from you, and they sell them just because they are Christians, just because they follow Christ. How do you forgive the people that take away your children, that rape your daughters, and take the boys and force them into slave labor and just take them away? How do you forgive the people who beat up your husband every single day just because he's a follower of Christ? Yet, Jesus said, if you do not forgive, then our Father in heaven cannot forgive you. It is not a suggestion that Jesus made. He did not say, if you want to, you can forgive those people that trespassed against you. Jesus said, you have. It's not an option. We have to forgive. And I often, when I work in the hear the stories of our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted for their faith, I think, God, how do they manage to forgive the people that do these things against them? And I think about us. I think about the way we live our lives. And I know, because I believe that you should very often, at least once a year, speak about the subject of forgiveness. Because in a year, many things happen to people. Happen to me, happen to us. There are many people that will do you harm in some way or another. Just in the last year, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years ago, people have done something. Maybe they stole money from you. Maybe you've been beaten up and abused as a child. Maybe you've been raped yourself. Maybe they just did you a lot of harm. And we as humans, it is so often we say to the people that did us harm, we just have this thing in your hearts and we say, I will never forgive you for what you've done to me. I will never forgive you. But Jesus said, if you do not forgive, then my Father in heaven cannot forgive you. And I always ask myself the question, Lord, how do you forgive those people that kill your children? How do you forgive those that comes against you? I always think of Danjuma in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the most persecuted, the countries where persecution is the highest in the world. And I always think of Danjuma. Danjuma, they gave him the nickname, the Wonder Boy, for many reasons. I'll explain that later. But Danjuma was 13 years old that day when they attacked his village. And they slaughtered 23 followers of Christ on that day. And many more were almost, were also, but 23 people was killed in that day. Many others were hurt and were attacked on that day. Danjuma was one of them. And Danjuma can still remember the pain when the machete mess came down in his head. The weapon of choice, by the way, in the Muslim world for people to kill followers of Jesus Christ, our brothers and our sisters, is a machete knife, a panga. And Danjuma can still remember the pain when the machete knife went into the back of his head. Luckily, graciously, thank God, he cannot remember when the machete knife came down and cut him in his shoulder. He cannot remember when the machete knife came down and cut big parts of his back. He cannot remember when they took a knife and they cut out one of his eyes. He lost an eye. He cannot remember when they came and they cut off his genitals just because he followed Christ. He cannot remember of all those pains. You know what? Danjuma can vaguely remember the surprise on the eyes of the people that carried him together with many others. And they were going to put them in a mass grave because they thought he was dead. He can vaguely remember the horror on their faces when they saw this mutilated boy coming back to life and suddenly he was alive again. And they gave him the name Wonder Boy for two reasons. Firstly, because he survived such a horrible, horrible incident that muted him for the rest of his life.
And secondly, because with the first thing that he said when he was after he's being treated in hospital and he was able to speak again, the first thing that he said was, "I forgive them because if they had Jesus in their hearts, they never would have done that to me." They call him Wonder Boy for that, because it's not that easy for somebody to just say, "You know what? I will forgive you for doing what you do to me." And Jesus said, we have got no choice. We have to forgive. If we want God to forgive our sins, we have to forgive everyone. You know what? He did not make any exception from that. God did not say, okay, you can forgive people for what they do to you, but if they did this or this or this to you, you don't have to forgive them. He said, everything, anything that anybody has done to you ever in your life, as a child of God, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you say, I follow Jesus Christ, you have to forgive. It's not optional. We have to forgive. And I'm going to give an opportunity this morning for the Holy Spirit to work in your spirit, to say, God, I just want to set those people free that did me in. For whatever reason, you know, as you're listening to me, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And He will remind you and bring back the things that happened to you in your life. And God says, you have to forgive. And I take this lesson from our brothers and our sisters in the persecuted church. God said, love your enemies. God said, pray for those who persecute you. In order for you to love them, in order for them to be able to love them, they have to make the conscious choice and say, God, like Danjuma, I forgive them. And it's not always easy. How do you succeed in forgiving them? When bitterness is, it's our human hearts, it is natural. It's supernatural. You need supernatural grace from God to be able to forgive people who does such atrocious things to you. It's natural for a human being to say, I hope you rot in hell. It's natural for a human being to say what Amina said. She was also from another part of Nigeria, but from Nigeria as well. Amina was lying in a bed at night time. It was about 11, 10 o'clock at night. And the next moment she heard the freedom fighters coming into her neighborhood. She heard the sound of machine gun fire. And they knew we have to escape now. And they tried to get out of the house. And they came to the fence. She was 6 months pregnant. And she jumped up the fence, and she was halfway up the fence when she felt the pain of a bullet that went into her leg. And they helped her down, and they took her back into the house. And the next moment, they burst into the house, and they started cutting her with a machete knife. They cut the machete knife into her backside and into her arms and legs, and she was really horribly butchered by the people. And in the process, she lost her 6 months old child. She was lying in the hospital bed, and her husband, which happened not to be there at that very moment, he was outside the city, that's why he's still alive. But he came in the next morning, and he discovered his family has been attacked by the Fulani together with many other Christians. And he went to the hospital, he found his wife at the hospital, and he was speaking to her. And he said, what, Amina, if they find the people that did this to you, if they arrest them, what must I tell them? What must they do to you? And Amina is as human as I am and as you are. And the first thing that she said when she was lying on that hospital bed is she said, if they find the people that did this to me, tell them they must do unto them what they did unto me. He said, are you not willing to forgive them? She said, I will never forgive them for what they've done to me. But as she was lying in her hospital bed, the Holy Spirit started talking to her. And as weeks, days went by, it took the doctors literally hours and hours and hours and hours to just stitch her up from all the cuts that she had in her body. But it took much more than that. It took weeks for her to stop crying over the loss of a child and over the loss of the scars on her body, the fact that her body's been mutilated forever. And she was crying out. She said, God, please, I will never forgive them. But the Holy Spirit started speaking to her, and God said, if you love me, you must love them. If you love me, you have to forgive them. If you say you are my child, you have to forgive. And weeks later, when her husband came in to visit her again, she said, if they find the people that did this to me, tell them I forgive them. Tell them that I trust that God, that they will come to know Jesus so that they can have eternal life, so that they can be reconciled with God. And it just happened that a few weeks later, she was working in the house and her uncle was there as well. And the next moment, people come bringing in wood that they bought for the fireplace. And immediately she recognized the man that brought in the wood. This is the man that butchered me, that was responsible for me losing my child. And her uncle always told her, he said, if you ever see that man, tell me. I will immediately make sure that he gets killed. He gets what he deserved. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her in that moment, and the Holy Spirit said, just forgive him again. Just forgive him. Just forgive him. And they made eye contact, and he recognized her, and she recognized him. But she made the choice right there, and she said, I will not tell my uncle about this man, because God helped me to forgive him. And she set him free. She let him go. Jesus said, if you do not forgive those that trespass against you, it doesn't matter what they do, then you will not be forgiven by our Father in heaven. And the lesson that we need to learn this morning is, forgiveness is not compulsory. My brother and my sister, it doesn't matter what people have done to you in your life. As a child of God, God expects you to forgive. God expects you. It might not be easy. It will never be easy. But God expects us to forgive. And it is my job to support persecuted Christians. We go and we visit our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries. And sometimes we hear the most horrible stories, and we try and support these people as good as we possibly can in so many different ways. But you know what? I've learned so many things from our persecuted brothers and sisters. The first thing that I need you to understand this morning is, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, if one part of the body suffers, then we all suffer. If you say in this morning, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, then I need you to understand that those people living in many other places in the world, all over the world, every single follower of Christ, all over the world, is part of one body. And you cannot in this morning listen to me and listen to what I'm telling you about the fact that 380 million of our brothers and sisters are living in high levels of persecution. You cannot listen to me and say, Arnold, this has got nothing to do with me. It's our brothers and our sisters. And every time when I go and visit persecuted countries, we visit them as often as is possible. And then when I come back, I share the stories with you, with God's family, God's body all over Southern Africa. That's my job. I live in the Cape, but I come to Namibia twice a year, and I talk to congregations everywhere. In South Africa, I do the same thing. Every church, every Sunday, I'm in a different church, and I share the message of persecution. And I do it for a very specific reason. You know what? These people, every time when we go visit them, every time we ask them, I go back to Southern Africa, I speak to the body of Christ in Namibia. When I go back, what do you want me to tell them, your brothers and sisters? What do you want me to ask them? What is your greatest need? What can you, the people of that says I am part of God's church in Windhoek, what can you pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world? And every single time, they say the same thing. I've never met nobody ever working for Open Doors. Open Doors this year is 70 years old. In 70 years, we've not met one single Christian ever that said, please ask the people in your country to pray that persecution will end. We've never had that. They always pray the same thing. They say, please ask my brothers and sisters that they will ask God to help us, to give us the courage not to deny Jesus. Because you know what? I wish I can in this morning tell you that every single member of the body of Christ in persecuted countries, they are super Christians. Not only do they forgive everybody, but they never experience fear when they threaten to kill them. I wish I can tell you that, but unfortunately I cannot. They are normal human people just like me and you. And just as you need supernatural strength from God to forgive those people that killed you or that killed your children or your parents or that mutilated your body, just as you need supernatural strength from God to do that, you need supernatural strength from God to have the courage not to deny Jesus. They every time give them a choice. They say, I'm going to kill you now, but before I kill you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to deny Jesus. If you deny Jesus, you can go. You can go back to your house. You can live a normal life. And the reality is that 9 out of every 10 people denies Jesus. Not because they wanted to. They really had an experience with Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus. They say, like most of us have said in our lives, I will never deny Jesus. And in that moment, when they put a knife to their throats, when they put a gun to their heads, or to their children's throats, fear overwhelmed them. And in that fear, they did what they thought they would never do. They denied the most important person in their lives. And then afterwards, can you imagine? Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the horribleness, the disappointment when you realize I've just denied Jesus? I said, like Peter, can you imagine how Peter felt after the chicken crowed and he denied and he realized, I've just denied Jesus. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Can you imagine how Judas has felt? To him it was in the end so bad that he just committed his own life. He said, I can't take it anymore. I denied Jesus. I cannot believe I denied Jesus. The reality is they deny Jesus every single day because fear overwhelms them. They thought they would never do it. I want to tell you one more, if it's okay with you, I want to tell you one more story. When ISIS started 11 years ago now, 2014, ISIS started killing Christians in mass in all over the Middle East and in Africa. They started executing Christians and many extremist terrorist groups started from all over, Al-Shabaab and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and whatever they call themselves, they all stand for a global jihad, a holy war to force everybody to become Christians, to become Muslims. They just force the people by gunpoint or knife point. And they had initially, they still do it until today. Many of the groups do it. But they did it intensely in the beginning. They would go to an area. I want you to understand then that in most countries where there are persecution of Christians, mostly it's because there are firstly a very few. The population of Christians are small. In most of those countries, not even 2% of the whole population. Say there are 2 million people, not even 2% of them are Christian. They get abused by the people. They treat the people badly. They never get proper jobs. They look down on them. They hate the Christians. They teach them in school how to hate the Christians. And these extremist terrorist groups, they come to an area and they say, okay, show me where all the Christians is. And the people don't like the Christians anyway. They say, there's a Christian there, there's a Christian there, there's a Christian there. Then they go to those houses. Imagine it is you. Just for a moment, imagine you're living in a country where the majority of the people are Muslim. There's only a few Christians. And you've been treated your whole life like you never got a decent job just because people literally spit on the Christian woman when they walk past them in the streets. Imagine that for a moment. And then imagine that an extremist terrorist group comes and they come to your house, to your area, and they say, where are the Christians? They say, there's a Christian there, there's a Christian there. And then what they do is they go to the houses and they take a red bottle of spray. And they spray the Arabic letter Noon. It's an N. In our alphabet, it's an N. In the Arabic and in the Hebrew language, it's a noon. A noon sign. It stands for N, Nazarene. The curse word for a Christian in those countries is Nazarene. You are a follower of the Nazarene. You're a Nazarene. Then they spray the letter N on the walls of every Christian in red. Can you imagine the fear when you come at home every day of your life? You're living in fear anyway. You're living because people are beating you up like they did with Amina, with Jamil. Jamil lives in one of the countries just below Russia, or the stans, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and all those stans. One of those countries stays there. For 3 years, every single day when he came home, tells me, I need to land now. I'll be short. For 3 years, he would come home every single day. And the first thing he had to do is he had to wash off the blood from his face, because on the way home, they would beat him up. But he had to make a choice every single day. While they were beating him up, he was quoting scriptures. He said, I want you to know that the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that you can be saved. And while he was quoting scripture, they would beat him up and he would wash the blood from his face, and he had to make a choice every single night. Lord, I forgive them. That is how many of these people live every single day. This woman came home from work and she found a noon sign that was painted on a wall. And that meant that ISIS has got my address. They're coming to my house. She locked herself in the room and she asked God for two things. She fasted for 3 days. She said, God, I trust that you will help me. I ask you two things. First of all, I trust that you will protect me, that they will not rape me. Secondly, I ask you, doesn't matter what happened, doesn't matter. Give me the strength not to deny you. Not to deny you. And you know what happened? I've learned many things in the last 30 years of visiting persecuted churches, in the last 7 years of full-time working for the persecuted church. And you know what? God is a mighty God. God can do anything, and God is able to intervene at any moment and stop people, and very often he does. Very often they pull the trigger and the bullet doesn't go off. The gun doesn't fire. Very often they want to kill somebody with a knife and the knife just doesn't want to go down because Jesus stops them. But it doesn't always happen. Every single day they rape 23 women. Every single day they kill 13. I don't know. I don't understand why God allows this. I don't. But I've learned to say, God, I don't understand you, but I trust you. I trust you. But this woman, every single one of these extremist terrorists raped her severely. And I ask myself the question, how do you forgive the people who did that to you? First of all, we took her away to one of our safe houses, and we treated her, we helped her as much as you can. How do you help somebody that's been raped by a whole gang of terrorists? But after months and months and months, she finally got enough of her humanity back that she could tell her story, because she did not deny Jesus, even though they raped her severely and they said, "We kind of keep on until you deny Jesus." She said, "I will not deny Jesus." And after months, she finally came to the front and she said, "I want to share my story with the congregation, with God's people, because they're in similar circumstances every single day. I want to share my story." And she started sharing her story to the congregation. And as she shared her story, the most incredible thing happened. It was so impactful that the next week she was invited to share her testimony in the next congregation. And the week after in the next congregation. Currently, she does not go in only in her country, in Syria. She goes all over the Middle East. Week after week, she's in another church. Week after week, she gives the same testimony and the same thing happens. Those sitting in the pews, they start crying like babies. Some of them run to the front. Some of them crawl on their knees. They say, "When it happened to me, when they threatened to kill me, when they threatened to kill my children, when they threatened to rape me, I did what I thought I would never do. I denied Jesus. Can Jesus forgive me?" And that's why I am here today. Because they ask me, they say, "Please ask my brothers and sisters, they would pray. They must pray for me that I will have the courage not to deny him." That's the most important thing. I'll say it again, you need supernatural strength from God to forgive people, but you also need supernatural strength from God. It's not natural for a person to say, "You can kill my child, I will not deny Jesus." You need supernatural strength from God. Otherwise, your courage will give in and you will say, "I give up, I'll deny Jesus." And they don't want to do that. And that's why I'm here today. I'm here today to ask you to say, "My sister, my brother, if you say, I follow Jesus, if you say I'm a child of God, will you not please open up your hearts?" I know the Holy Spirit is talking to you now because I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit as I'm talking to you. And I'm asking you as a brother and a sister of the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ, will you open your heart and say, "I will take responsibility to pray for my brothers and sisters"? If the Holy Spirit talks to you, the Holy Spirit nudges you, and he says, "I'm not asking you to pray 24 hours out of 24 hours every single day. I'm only asking you, should you," the Holy Spirit lay on your heart to pray, that you will be obedient to pray. If you say, "Arnold, I'm willing to do that," you can trust me. I will, when the Holy Spirit asks me to pray, I'm willing to sign up to become one of the intercessors to pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters. Then I want you, you've all received a little pamphlet like this, subscription from Open Doors with a pen. The pen is a gift from Open Doors. You can keep the pen. But if you say, "Arnold, I'm listening this morning. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. I am also a follower of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. I am willing to pray when the Holy Spirit prays for me. I'll be obedient." Will you not just, as I'm talking now, you can do it now. Just take it. And unfortunately, it's Afrikaans. I did not bring English subscription forms. But you can understand when it says name. And you can understand when it says cell phone number, email address. Just write your name and your email address or cell phone number on there. And as you do this, you are telling me, "Arnold, I heard the call of the Holy Spirit this morning. I take responsibility. I'll pray for my brothers and sisters." You can just write it. What happens is I'm going to ask you to afterwards, I'll stand there. Or maybe I'll stand here. Just come to me and bring me your leaflet. And when you do this, you're telling me, "Arnold, I will take responsibility to pray for my brothers and sisters." Every time, maybe you're driving in your car, or you're washing the dishes, or you're standing in the shower, and the Holy Spirit says, "Pray now that you will in that moment be obedient," and you'll say, "I will pray." That's all I'm asking of you. I know God uses your prayers. The Bible says in James 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God uses your prayers. God does not only listen when the Domini prays. God listens when you pray. And God will use your prayers to strengthen our brothers and sisters. He's done it millions of times. Many people have got amazing testimony how it just felt like all the strength went out of them and their courage failed them completely. And the next moment, the power of the Holy Spirit came on them and they said, I will not deny Jesus, because supernaturally they got strength because somebody, somewhere prayed. I thank you that you open your hearts this morning for your fellow brothers and sisters and that you say, I'm willing to pray. Thank you very much. That's by far the most important thing you can do for your brothers and sisters. I trust that you will never again after this morning forget that the Holy Spirit will regularly remind you to pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters. It's by far the most you can do. It's the least you can do, but it's the most you can do. You can pray. There are also other ways that you can get involved by supporting Open Doors. You can also give. The first thing that's important is Open Doors is not interested in this congregation's money. You need to give for this church. If the Holy Spirit leads you to give, you must give. But if the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart to give an additional maybe 50 rand, even 50 rand a month helps the persecuted church. If the Holy Spirit nudges you to get involved financially as well, then in the middle of this document, there's also an opportunity to sign for a debit order. If you don't have your banking details, you can just write in the amount and I will contact you afterwards for your banking details. If the Holy Spirit says you must give an X amount, it's a personal thing. It is between you and the Holy Spirit. The same with a prayer. It's a personal thing. But if you feel this morning, Arnold, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I will take responsibility and I will pray, then I'm asking you, please afterwards, just give me this form back and look me in the eye just for a moment and say, you can count on me. I will pray for my brothers and sisters. I say to you, thank you very, very much that I had the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I'm going to pray now. I want to ask you two things. First of all, that you'll make a commitment in your heart and say, Lord, I will pray for my brothers and sisters. And secondly, if you in this morning need to deal with something, and as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit laid it on your heart, you need to forgive about this, and the Holy Spirit will take you to those incidents in your life and the people that you did not forgive. And the Holy Spirit will say, you need to forgive them. God said, you have to forgive. It's not an option. You have to forgive. Just name them. Name the names just quietly in yourself, in your heart. Say, Lord, I forgive this person. I forgive this person. I set them free. I said, the Bible says in Luke 6, verse 37, it says, set free so that you can be set free. The moment you set them free, God sets you free. And you let it go, God will set you free. I thank you for that. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in this place and this morning. Thank you for the privilege that I had to share the Word of God with this people. Thank you that your Holy Spirit spoke to us about the subject of forgiveness. And thank you that I know that there are people in this church and this morning that needs to forgive those that trespassed against them. That doesn't matter what it is, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit are talking in our hearts now. And I pray that you will help my brothers and sisters to utter those words in their spirit and say, Lord, I forgive them. And just let it drop. The Amplified Bible says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them and let it drop. Let it drop. That they'll just let it drop. Walk out of this church a free man and a free woman. I pray that you will do that in their spirits. And I also pray that, Lord, you will plant a seed. You have planted a seed in our hearts, in the hearts of my brothers and sisters in this morning, so that we can take responsibility for our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries. I thank you for that. Thank you that we could listen to your word. Thank you that you help us to comply to your word. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the privilege that I had. Again, I say, just afterwards, bring me your leaflet if you say, I will pray for the persecuted church. We're going to stand up now, and we're going to sing a final song. We're going to do the offering now. So Maybe we can do it while we're standing, as we sing the song. Is it okay? We stand up, we sing one more song, and those that are that needs to, yeah, to take the offering back, unless that you just take it up with the people. We're going to sing hymn number 82, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then we're going to end off with a prayer. But as they're doing the offering, we're going to sing. Come on, can we please stand? And then we're just going to sing. Thank you. Words that we've just sang, that you will help us, that you'll take our lives and every incident in our lives and the words of our mouths, and that it honor you every single day, that we will live a sacrificial life, sacrificing so many things because you sacrificed everything for us. I thank you for that. I pray that your Holy Spirit will just guide us, that you'll just be with us in this day. Pray that the peace of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father will be with every one of you in this day. Just receive His peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.